Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Chemist Warehouse June catalog sale is on now. Find a massive 30% off the Thompson's vitamin range.
This is In the Red with Justin Marshall and Ricardo Ball on SENZ.
Two minutes past seven here on SENZ. Dean Butler with you tonight on In the Red with Justin Marshall. If you've got any questions you want to ask Justin, please let us know. 8833 is the number to call. In the Red brought to you by the Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrances. Marshy, good evening to you, mate. How are you, pal?
Yeah, good evening, Dean. I'm very well. Good evening to all of you joining us for In the Red. It's finally here, and I actually know that very quickly we have entered into the playoffs of Super Rugby. Just when I sort of thought that the season was ticking away and, you know, we were just sort of going through the motions, bang, yeah. It's quarterfinal time. It seems to have happened really quickly all of a sudden.
Yeah, you're right. I'm with you on that, Marshy. It was kind of dragging a bit. Well, not dragging, but it was kind of taking its time. And then all of a sudden, we're here now. And as Marshy, look, you're a Cantab, you're a proud Crusader. Can I ask you first on another note, what's the feeling like your old mate Wayne Smith getting his Order of Dame Commander, Sir Wayne? That's pretty good too, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is, mate. I was very fortunate a couple of weekends ago to share a very proud moment with Wayne, which was being inducted into the Crusaders Hall of Fame, a new initiative, and to be in the company of both him and Todd Blackadder was incredibly humbling, but equally in the same breath, it was a very proud moment. But the best thing was that I got the opportunity to see a lot of my former teammates, the current players, and basically a Crusaders room full of people that hadn't seen for a long time, and it was good to just sit down and have a chat to them, see what's going on in their lives, but more importantly, reminisce about times that have now passed us by, but still, I guess, have our moment of really appreciating what the current Crusaders are doing. And Wayne Smith was one of those that I sat down and had a really good chat with, and great to see. It was the day after he'd just been given a role at the New Zealand Rugby Union, director of coaches, so looking after that. So he was incredibly excited about that opportunity. Then he got inducted into the Crusaders Hall of Fame, and now he's just been knighted. So it's been a pretty good month for Smithy, but you couldn't think of any man that deserves it more. You know, the things that he not only achieved as a player in the game, but equally as a coach with both the Crusaders, with the All Blacks, with teams overseas recently, with the Black Ferns. You know, I know that it would have meant a lot to him to be recognised for the game that he loves.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Marshy. He's done some wonderful, wonderful things, especially on the coaching front, as you say. So all power to him. And hey, congrats to you, mate, on that Hall of Fame, because that's a great honour. But also, to me, it's a great idea because it gives the Crusaders, like, of the moment, and those who are now kids looking to be Crusaders, boy, does it give them something to strive for as well.
Oh, yeah, it does. And you know what was really great, Dino, was the fact that throughout the course of the afternoon, and it was a big, long afternoon, but really entertaining, the fact that it wasn't only past Crusaders, but it was just more current ones, like your Carters, McCaws, Kieran Reeds, you know, Andy Ellis, all those guys that were there, and then the current group as well. But seeing and having them come up and chat to us and say it was really cool to see your guys' emotion and reaction, you know. And I said, yeah, mate, like, honestly, I'm pretty much do what I was having to do today on stage for a living. I do a lot of corporate speaking. I get up in front of millions of people on a TV camera every weekend. And you know, it's something that I'm comfortable in doing, so I'm not fazed by being in that and on that stage and in that environment. But I said to them, the difference today was, and why I struggled a little bit and got emotional, but equally kind of a bit nervous and a bit shaky, was, usually I'm looking out at quite a lot of empty faces, you know, with the greatest respect, people that I don't know. But when I looked out into that room and I saw some of the legends of Crusaders rugby, but also equally some of the foundation members from 1996, it just overwhelmed me. And both Toddy and Wayne Smith said the same. And it was just a really good initiative. It meant a lot. And more importantly, it gets us all back together again, Dino. Yeah. You know, gets that feeling that you had when you were a Crusader, you know, that opportunity for us all to be in the same room again and again reminisce about the past. You know, a lot of those guys came up to me and said, hey, it was really cool hearing you guys speak on stage and hearing your stories about, you know, what you used to get up to and how you used to train. And we're just thinking, man, you guys are dinosaurs, but how cool to know where you started, you know. So it was a really incredible afternoon.
Oh, man, it sounds like. Hey, Marshy, before we look forward to the playoffs, let's look at the weekend's game. And that look, how do you judge that one, Marshy? The Hurricanes got there, close game, 27-26. What are your thoughts on that? Has it affected anything, or is it just it's one more game, it's one more step?
I think when you boil it down and look at the result and look what unfolded on that evening in Wellington, there's a Crusaders side that have gone, you know, back to back, who they know how to win. And they when they need to, they front. But they can be rattled and they can be beaten. And that's been shown, and particularly the last year, and shown some vulnerability. But when you look at all of that and you think, well, this is a team that's just methodical and they know what they're doing. Mm. But what I came away from that stadium thinking was, but they still can learn. And they can learn how a game, when it's unfolding, can be very quickly flipped on its head. Mm. And that's what happened to them. So it's for all their success, they're just like everybody else, where they go, okay, we got arm wrestled into a game that we didn't want to play. We were going along nicely, and the Hurricanes changed the tactical way the game was flowing, and they brought it into the gutter. And when they brought it into the gutter, they brought a bit of niggle, a bit of chat, a bit of physicality, a bit of rubbing of the head, a bit of banter. And all of a sudden, they put us off our rhythm. And instead of ignoring them and just thinking about what we're doing well, we reacted, and we went into the gutter with them, and all of a sudden the game went in the direction that it didn't need to for them, because they were in such control. Yeah. And that'll probably be the thing that will disappoint them. But equally, if I'm Scott Robertson, Sam Whitelock, the guys in the leadership group, Richie Mo'onga, and reviewing that game, I'm thinking, righto, this is what they did to us. Mm. This is how we reacted, which was wrong, because we ended up losing and we lost our mojo. But thank God it's happened now in a game that was a dead rubber. Yes. And we now know that should that happen again, they'll be talking about, righto, let's say somebody and some people bring the game that way and in that direction again, how do we react? So in my mindset, not good because it shows vulnerability, but equally a good time for it to happen. And hopefully they have learnt that if that should happen to them again, they don't get affected by it.
Yeah, very. I mean, I was the same, Marsh. When it got to 19-3, I thought, oh, here we go. This one's done and dusted. Yeah. Hurricanes came back. And you mentioned got rattled. And let's be fair, the chief rattler, Dane Coles, back to his best. You know, he was just. And you know, Marsh, when we talk about hookers and that, you know, we go, Samisoni Takiaho, yeah, okay, sure, but who's number two? I still like Dane Coles.
It's interesting, isn't it? When we sat down as a crew after the game and we're doing a bit of a debrief over a cold beer, the situation in the game, which, you know, Colsey pretty much led. He was the instigator. He recognised that they weren't making any inroads, the Hurricanes. So I think he just took it upon himself. And once he took it upon himself, you know, Braden Yose, the youngster, he fired up. Artie Savier fired up.
Yep.
Manhandled a couple of people in tackles, and all of a sudden they all grew from what Dane Coles instigated. And you can't coach that type of reaction or that type of experience where a player's just recognising if we keep going down this pathway, we're going to lose by 40. So the conversation then came up over that beer that I'm talking about. Man, is he the guy? You know, do you rule him out of All Black selection? You know, do. You know, and I said, look, to be perfectly honest, if we're in a World Cup quarter, semi, final, final, and we lose either Cody Taylor or Samisoni Taukeiaho, and Dane Coles comes onto the bench and comes out into one of those games after 15 minutes because of injury, that would not make me feel uncomfortable. That would make me feel this guy knows what he's doing. He can still get around the park. He can still scrummage. He's one of the better scrummaging hookers around. He can still throw darts into the line out. So, yeah, really interesting, isn't it, how a one-off performance when a guy's been missing for so long against, you know, a team like the Crusaders who you think wouldn't be influenced by a guy like him and would be unfazed, got phased, and now all of a sudden you start thinking, man, do you actually even think about leaving him out when he could be so valuable?
Yeah, it was so interesting watching, especially when he was taking on Cody Tully. And part of me is going, hang on, I thought these guys are best buddies. But and there was that whole thought of, okay, you might be the incumbent, you know, ahead of me in the All Black Stakes at the moment, but man, I'm gonna have a go at you tonight, you know, to put me back in there.
Yeah, and can I say, though, and for the listeners out there who come from all over the country, probably quite a few from Crusaders franchise area, but equally from the Hurricanes franchise area, that they are a team that we have right from 1996 always respected, have always recognised their incredible talent pool that they have and their unpredictability, which makes them fluctuate so much. They literally, we call them the roller coaster team because they're up and then they're back down the other side and then and that's the way that they play. But when they're up, you know, they're one of the most dangerous, if not dangerous, side in the comp. And I think that's been throughout the course of history. But it's a game that we really target winning. We do not like losing to the Hurricanes as Crusaders. And that would have hurt that team on Saturday night, regardless of where the game went. It's the result that really matters. And that's a victory for the Hurricanes, a well-deserved one. I thought that they, the way they went about their work in the second half, you couldn't argue that they deserved to win. The last 30-second try that Crusaders scored flattered the scoreboard a bit. It was, they pulled away by more than that. So that stings, and it'll sting those current players as well. Yeah, that's just to give you a little bit of an insight to the rivalry. You know, people go, oh, you know, Crusaders Highlanders, Crusaders Blues, you know, Chiefs more recently. But I tell you what, that Hurricanes fixture, when they beat us way back in 1996 in Palmerston North, I think it was. That was the catalyst for the rivalry that's here now. And this was the first time these two sides had played as well. You know, isn't it something to sort of debate that maybe we just need one fixture between the New Zealand teams to rejuvenate, to spark up this competition that, you know, every year you're only going to play the Blues once, the Chiefs once, the Highlanders once, the Hurricanes once, you know?
I like that.
That's it.
I like
that. So you got to bring your best game, otherwise you've got to wait another year to get one back on them.
Yeah, I like that idea, Marsh. And that's a great insight into the history of the rivalry as well. And look, from a fan's perspective, for me, watching the Crusaders, it's so good to see, and I think I speak for many Kiwis here, it's so good to see Will Jordan doing what he does best.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think he's still finding his way. You know, he's been out for quite a long period of time. It takes a little bit of time to get used to the contact, the physicality, the pace again. There's no amount of training that you can do that replicates that, especially the contact.
Yes,
to put it in perspective for people, you know, you can be running around the training field, which he probably has done with the concussion injuries, to the point when he was fine without suffering the after effects. But when then you go into contact, that's a different kettle of fish, and you can't replicate any form of contact in a game at training run. It's just not, it's 80%, 85%. Sometimes when somebody's been dropped and they don't like being dropped, they'll go 100% in the opposition. That happens. You can't help that. That's human nature. But in general, it's not that 100% contact across the board.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we're still starting to see Will Jordan replicate the things that he did, but they're a little inconsistent at the moment. I think he's only going to get better and better and better.
Yeah, man, it was certainly, for me, it's great to have him back. And your man, of course, Lester Fainganuku, he's been the talk of the town the past month or so. Marshy, once again, one of those players that, I don't know, is he going to stay? Is he off, Marshy? Do you know any more on that?
Yeah, it looks like he is set to leave. There's been obviously a lot of debate about why. I think he's only 23.
Yeah.
You know? And to lose a player The issue that I kind of have with it is this is a player that when I say 23, I mean 23. And it feels like he's been around for a long time. But the frustrating thing is he's a different player now than 3 years ago.
Yep.
He's a different player than what he was last year. And he was still an All Black.
Mm.
Didn't get the opportunities there. But I think he probably wasn't the same player in the All Blacks as he was for Super. But no player really adjusts that quickly. So he would have learnt. And now he's come back this year. He's a much better Super player than he was last year.
Mm.
Imagine what sort of an All Black should he get in the team. And I think he will. He will be from having learnt from the year before. And his improvement from 23 to 30... he could be an absolute footstone for the All Blacks in that next 5 or 6 years and through to World Cups. But he's leaving, and it's just like, oh, my goodness, his potential's hardly been read. You know who what this reminds me of? It's Charles Peartow.
Yes.
Charles Peartow.
Yeah.
Golly. What a loss he was. And he went overseas, and, yes, he's made an absolute fortune, but played some of his best rugby outside of a New Zealand franchise and outside of an All Black jersey.
Yeah, that's so perfect. That's definitely one that got away, Charles Peartow. And now, unfortunately, looks like Leicester has two. I think, Marshy, we've got to take a break. If you've got any questions you want to ask Justin, text them in 8833, and we'll get to those after the break, as well as looking at the playoffs too. 20 past 7 here on In the Red, brought to you by Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrances. Dean Butler with you here tonight, and Justin Marshall is in the hot seat as always. Marshy, we've got a text which has come in, mate. It says, Marshy, we've lost three All Blacks props for the season. Sam Whitelock has injuries. Are they done? Would you take Owen Franks to the World Cup? Still our best scrimmaging tight head. Your thoughts, Marshy?
Well, if the game was still really heavily focused around scrummaging, yes, because, you know, the guy's unrivaled and can still scrum. But I think when you start to see the way that the props have been modernised, the way that Joe Moody was playing, the way that some of the other props like Tamaiti Williams, even Tuonga Fassi and co. Are all starting, you know, Ethan de Groot is becoming much more mobile and much more skilled in terms of passing and being able to be first and second receivers. It's not Frank's strength, to be honest. And the All Blacks recognised that they needed to evolve their front rowers. And I know that Ian Foster shoulder tapped Joe Moody and said, mate, where you're at is not where we're going. You need to adjust your game. And man, didn't he do a magnificent job of that?
It's
such a shame about his injury. But he completely changed the way that he was playing and did adapt and adjust. I don't think Franksy can do that. So, look, I get it. He's a great scrummager, but the way that we want to go at the Rugby World Cup and the type of game we want to play and be able to match and better some of the top teams in the world right now, that style of game I think has probably passed him by. Look, you know, you might have a guy like that should the injuries continue to happen. They're simply just, if you're having a game where it's really wet and it turns into a bit of a shit fight, for want of a bit of better word, and you think, righto, we just need to get a scrummager on, it might be worth having someone like that in your arsenal, I guess. There's debate in that.
Mm. Yeah, no, good call. Thank you for that. Akel, thank you for that text. And if anyone else wants to text him, please 8833. All right, Marshy, let's move on to the playoffs, mate. And let's start with your guys first up, of course. And I'm looking at this, Marshy, and I'm thinking banana skin. I don't mind if the Crusaders play any other side, but the Fijian Drua, they are unpredictable, Marshy, and they've tested a lot of teams this season.
Yeah, best thing is, though, Dino, that they tested the Crusaders to the point that they beat them. And there's no way the Crusaders are going to get caught with their pants down again.
True.
Yeah, they rested some players, yes, but they also underestimated what the Endura are like, particularly at home. They are a different beast when they travel.
Yeah.
You know, when they had put back-to-back-to-back performances together, which were quite good. They weren't wins, but they were still good performances. When they turned up down at Forsyth Bar to play the Highlanders, I commentated that game, and I was really let down. They weren't the same side that I'd been watching, particularly in Fiji.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a curse for them, their inability to travel. And one of the hardest places to go is Orange Theory Stadium in Christchurch, the Crusaders Fortress. You've got to be game on to go there and beat the Crusaders, and particularly with them smarting for having been beaten in the round robin. Yeah. So they will be in tune. They won't be complacent at all. So I don't think there's any banana skin in it. I expect them to be really prepared, really know where their strengths can lie to beat the Endura, and what type of game they do not want to enter into against them.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's a Saturday night, it's 7:05. It's going to be cold as well, Marshy. So, you know, that's going to play into the hands as well, with it.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, there's some rumour that possibly Ethan Blackadder will be back at the weekend off the bench, which is good news for the Crusaders.
Yeah.
I bumped into John Afour at the airport on Sunday after the game, and he was heading in a different direction to the team. He was with the Crusaders manager, and I said, "Where are you going, mate?" Yeah. And he said, "I'm up home." And I said, "Oh, why?" And he said, "No, I'm done now. I can't play any more part in the Crusaders team because of eligibility." So. You know, getting someone like Blackadder back when you lose John Afour, who they've really needed. You know, I'm not convinced that the eligibility criteria that the New Zealand Rugby Union have brought in should work on a. I believe it should work on a case by case situation. You know, this John Afour has only been brought back because of the desperation the Crusaders have in the front row, and you've got a world-class prop that's filled that void. But the fact that he wasn't here registered playing rugby in New Zealand, I think it was by the 1st of March or 1st of April, means that he could only play round robin Super Rugby. He couldn't go into the quarterfinals. And I'm just thinking, New Zealand Rugby Union, you need to maybe re-look at that, because the Crusaders aren't trying to get any advantage leading into the quarters or semis by bringing a guy back from overseas. They've simply brought him back because they need to fill the injury void. And secondly, they also have to look at the fact they've brought him back is because they don't believe that there are others out there that could go out, particularly in semis, quarterfinals, finals, football, and not get hurt because they're out of their depth, like particularly in the front row. So I think it's a real shame that he's been ruled out because of that. I think they need to maybe relook at the way that they are bringing that criteria in.
Agreed.
And sort of do it. I can understand why, because they're saying, righto, say the Highlanders sneak into the eight, and then they put out an SOS to, I don't know, Tawira Kubalo, because they lose Aaron Smith, and Kubalo's still playing overseas, and they go, or Stephen Luatua, and say, righto, mate, can you come back, and all of a sudden you've got a massive advantage. I don't think New Zealand teams are that way orientated. I don't think people would manipulate the clause in that fashion, unless they absolutely really needed to get a player in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think we do that. And to be fair, John, it was a fairy tale waiting to happen too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he came out of nowhere. Was he 38, 39? It was like, what is going on? It's amazing.
Yeah, it was. And the fact that he showed so much joy in being a Crusader, you know, 100 odd games for the Blues and for the All Blacks, and then playing overseas. But like all accounts, I've talked to the current players, I've talked to a couple of the coaches. He was just an absolute pleasure to have within the side. He showed some real guidance to the two young props that they've got there now, and really helped them in understanding what's required. So just having him part of that set up and him absolutely really enjoying it, it's a shame that he's been dismissed for a bit of a silly eligibility clause. But anyway, yeah, absolutely great to see him be a Crusader. He can come to the Hall of Fame. Booze up now.
That's awesome, Marshy. Okay, let's run through the other ones, Marshy. First up, the Blues against the Waratahs. The Blues stumbled home against the Highlanders. This is on Friday night, 7:35 Eden Park. Which way do you see this one going?
Look, there's no doubt in my mind that it's a tough old grind and a difficult match. But the Blues, you know, they look a good side, and I think they'll be good enough to win that. And that will see them probably head to Christchurch the following weekend for a semi-final. How good will that be?
Oh, mate, that brings back all the old memories. So there you go. Okay, and then probably the most clear-cut of the weekend, the Chiefs versus the Reds, Marshy.
Yeah, Chiefs just so impressive. You know, got great depth in their squad. They're at home, quarter final, and they've got the ability to get a final at home. You don't see them missing a beat in terms of winning the game, but I think it'll be more of a niggly challenge than what many expect. And obviously, the Reds have beaten them once already this season, so even though it was a slightly weakened side, they'll be smarting from that. The Chiefs, I don't expect them to get caught with their pants down again either.
Yeah, and then a very interesting one to finish off, Marshy, the Brumbies versus the Hurricanes over there Saturday, 9:35 p.m. our time. How are you picking this one?
Yeah, game of the round. It really is. Yeah. It's a belter of a game. Look, I just see the Hurricanes on a bit of a roll, got good confidence. They've got some players back and they're playing good rugby. The Brumbies, conversely, are a bit of a mess. And I feel that the Hurricanes will go there and they will win that game.
There you go. Okay, Marshy. So you've got Blues, Crusaders, Chiefs, Brumbies. Look, I'm no psychic, but I'm guessing you're going to pick the Crusaders to beat the Blues in the semi-final, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And then I'm guessing you'd go for the Chiefs over whoever wins the Brumbies-Hurricanes game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking Crusaders-Chiefs final. That's what you're saying?
Highly likely, mate. Highly likely. What a belter of a final that would be. I don't think we'd be disappointed if that was the case.
Nah, that'd be fantastic final. Marshy, before we let you go, mate, we've got to do the Super Rugby Pacific Player of the Week. Thanks to the DHL Super Rugby Pacific, it is underway. Who's your Super Rugby Pacific Player of the Week?
I'm going to throw it out there and say that I believe that for the whole Super Rugby Pacific this weekend, it was Sean Stevenson. I think he's just in absolute magnificent form right now. And he's literally on fire.
Does he get picked, Marshy, for the All Blacks? He really is playing so well.
I'd say they will pick him, yes.
Okay.
If I was a betting man, I would bet your mortgage on it, but not mine, Dina.
Thanks for that, Marshy. Hey, always a pleasure, mate. Enjoy the rest of your week, buddy.
Cheers, mate. You too. Thanks for everybody joining us for In the Red.
There you go, Justin Marshall with In the Red. We'll take a break now, and after that, we'll be back with Pacific Flair with Peter Alatini.